All right, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with one of my co-hosts, Danny Danger. We're back this week to talk more wrestling. How are you this day, Danny?
Well, I'm doing well. The weather here in Georgia is doing as the weather does in the early summer. Not exactly sunny, exceptionally humid because there's mild rain off and on all day. Makes any kind of outside or garage or warehouse type activities very unpleasant. But you know, we had a whole lot of us this past week, and we have a whole lot more coming up this weekend. So the world is still a good place.
This is very true. And well, we didn't only just have wrestling, but there was also MMA, mixed martial arts. Now, we usually talk mixed martial arts here on the Fans of Wrestling Show, but we do involve a pro wrestler. And well,
hey, he considers himself an ex-pro wrestler. He is done with pro wrestling. He will not be all in. He is done pro wrestling. Get it through your heads, people. Never coming back. Done.
Never say never. One Justin Bieber had many a times in many songs. But alas, he went out and he fought Michael Jackson. And well, as Michael Jackson once said in a song in 1979, you can't win. That's exactly what happened to CM Punk, because he lost that win.
He is 0-2 in his professional martial arts career.
Now, does that mean, has he had enough? Will he not?
I don't know. I didn't listen to any of his post-fight interviews or any of those kind of things.
Well, no one did, because he went straight to the hospital.
Well, to check for concussion or something, because he got punched?
To check broken nose anything, or something. That man's face was blue red.
Yeah, his face was pretty beat up. He did look quite a mess.
Yeah, he looked like he wanted to be starting something, but he couldn't finish it.
He looked like he got struck by a smooth criminal. Well, see, that's okay. So it's Mike Jackson as we're making all the jokes. But Jackson, this was his first professional win. As Jackson went in 0-1, and now he had a fight of 1-1. So CM Punk now had two fights. He's lost both. It was announced that his original contract was a 3-fight deal. So this, you know, it's difficult to tell sometimes the severity of a loss in MMA. The first loss, you know, with 2 minutes, kind of pummeled and taken down and choked and tapped out. This fight was more 3 rounds of domination, which is a more heartbreaking loss, which is a stronger defeat, basically. Control and domination or in the first round. They always kind of debated as back in my days as an MMA, you know, oh, he got his butt whooped. Well, yeah, well, this guy got knocked unconscious. Are there levels of defeat in the world of MMA?
I think to me, it's plain and simple. He looked good, and I think it was a moral victory. The fact that he did win. The fact that he lasted 3 rounds. He looked an amateur, which, of course, second night.
He is
39 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, great a predator as he is, or was. You know, apparently, you can be coordinated doing something that's, you know, that's predetermined, but when it's real life, that man looked like he had 2 left feet. But he looked and fought like he was not ready for the big leagues, you know? That's true. There is a minor league in most sports, but in this, he skipped the big leagues, you know? And people can say, oh, well, that's not fair. Well, you know, he's a celebrity, so he got a shot. He moved pay-per-view buys and served a purpose, but at what point do you say enough is enough? And Dana White said that that's probably it. He's going to be released of his contract. He's not going to fight in the UFC. Now, if CM Punk chooses to remain fighting, which of course is his right to want whatever the heck he wants to do, then that'll be on him and whatever company wants to hire him and get the exposure of having CM Punk fight for them. So he could definitely keep it. There are lesser companies out there that
UFC is not the only place in town. They're just, I mean, to people who aren't as, you know, MMA fans, I mean, they're the WWE of MMA, basically. They're the big ones, big money. They have the big television deals, but there are, you know, other places that have TV deals, you know, locally, or they have, you know, specials here and there. So there are different options if he wants to continue to fight in MMA. But similarly to how when he decided he was done with wrestling, he didn't want to wrestle anywhere but WWE, like, at least at the time. Does he treat MMA the same way, and say, you know, okay, UFC or nothing at all? I mean, he could do that. We don't know. I guess it remains to be seen how UFC will handle it. You know, how they want to handle things to determine his future, I guess, and if he has one.
Yeah, and I think that to him, he probably sees it as a victory for him because he was able to survive. But a lot of people have accused Michael Jackson of taking it easy and not really trying that hard. You know, I could have probably seen that. But then again, the other kid is also, at least was 0-1 coming in this. So another, you know, amateur, they got a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe the experience on his part, because, you know, you see Gall, who went in there and submitted, you know, CM Punk in a matter of minutes in the first round. And Michael Jackson, you know, he kept on going. And, you know, he sure remembered the time when Mickey Gall went in and took care of business and went right away instead of milking the time.
Well, as you know, yes, some people say that you know, they don't get paid by the hour, but if the boss instructs you to not finish the guy when you have an opportunity for whatever reason, you know, because give the fans a show kind of thing, you know, then you do what the boss calls for.
Sure, but the boss is not saying Michael Jackson is done with the UFC and called him some bad words and idiot for not finishing the fight and for fighting the way he did. So apparently the boss still regretted putting that fight on pay-per-view.
Okay. He always says that, though. If it's not an exciting fight.
So
he wants Dane to sound like the tough guy and the badass, you know. And why he just wears t-shirts all the time.
Michael Jackson, CM Punk, will they get one more chance? Likely not. But, you know, good for CM Punk for trying, and whatever he decides to do, I am sure there are companies that will hire him and give him a shot if he wants to continue. The question is, does he want to continue at 39? By the time he fights again, he'll probably be free. If not 41, does his wife...
Yeah, I would say 40 at least. I think that comes down to a thing people were saying too. Does his wife want to watch him in the UFC anymore after seeing how badly hurt he can get? You know, like, it's one thing in a professional wrestling is bad enough to watch your spouse go through sometimes. But at least you're not intentionally trying to injure people in professional wrestling. Whereas the UFC, it's quite different. And more guys get hurt training for, you know, MMA fights than they do in the actual fights themselves. The training is very hard. It's arduous. It's, you know, it's, you know, 10 and 12 hour training sessions, days, often, you know, 5 and 6 days a week, sometimes several weeks leading up to the fight. Just the same way that travel is on a wrestling schedule. It can just take its toll on a relationship. So maybe she would just be happy for him to retire, and you know, then they can go and periodically do some wrestling signing appearances, either at conventions or comic book conventions. CM Punk can pop up, or you know, or wherever they would like to go.
I'm sure the CM Punk would do very well in those type of scenarios where he could do conventions. I mean, look at how big Stone Steve Austin's recent WrestleMania weekend signings were. They were huge.
Yeah.
And he held out of those for a long time. You know, many a times he was there for WWE, but never for the independents. And in this time, in this past year, he was. And, well, the company made a lot of money that, you know, and I'm sure he took home a pretty penny. So that means that CM Punk could very well have that, especially since he's been out of the wrestling scene for so long that people clamor to want to see him and pay for it.
Absolutely. And even guys, you know, I mean, like you said, Stone Cold did really, really well, but even guys who've maybe been out in the scene for a little bit who are still big names, you know, Sting still does very well at those things because he stayed out of them for several years, kind of until he made his WWE comeback and had his couple matches there. You know, Sting at some of these can charge $100 for a signature and a picture. Bret Hart, you know, goes to some of these and he charges $100 or more for for a picture and an autograph. So you can, you know, you, and if you only do one or two a year, it then of course, sets up the need and the demand from fans because they realize, oh, you know, when's the next time he's going to do one of these? 6 months from now, a year from now, maybe never. It, you know, fans may come to the convention just for him. You know, I mean, I could see that as a possibility for myself, even if he were to go to, you know, one Raleigh SuperCon or WrestleCon, or some of the different conventions, you know, he could be a deciding factor for me to decide to make that trip.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different options available for him, whatever he decides to do, whether he decides to fight again, whether he decides to be all in, whether he decides to do nothing at all. The man has saved his money, and thankfully, thanks to the court case, he gets to keep all the money that he saved.
Yeah, apart from lawyers, which who knows how much those are.
I mean, yeah.
But gosh, I imagine he made a fair amount of money off 2 UFC fights, even though they were losing efforts.
Oh, Shane, definitely being on pay-per-view does not hurt you at all.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good things that happened to CM Punk, and whatever happens now to him and his wife, and you know, hey, whatever he decides to do, maybe whatever makes him happy, and so he can live a happy life and continue be, you know, enjoying life with his loved ones as long as he's got his health. Danny, I mean, we're not as closely as to CM Punk. You know, I'm not going to speak for you. Speak for myself. We're at 36 years old. I don't see myself wanting to train fight and get beat up. No,
that's not the kind of life I want to devote myself to. Just not just for the fighting aspect, but just that training and that kind of commitment and stuff. Especially if you have the money, do something you enjoy. If you enjoy that life, if you enjoy the training and the gym and the fights and stuff, oh, by all means, please do. Until you know, you don't enjoy it anymore. But if it's not something you enjoy as much, then yeah, I definitely I would do something alternatively.
With that being said, this one, let's talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling for a minute. Last week, we took a look at the Dominion card, and well, what a show it was. Definitely one that made me very, very happy. And we're not going to go through all of the results of the show because there's a lot of stuff that we may not have cared for or washed.
Here's the thing, though. So let's go ahead out there. All my predictions were right. Okay. I mean, I can run down a couple of the matches and tell you just how accurate all of my predictions were. So the, you know, team called pretty much the greatest of all time, Rey Mysterio, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tanahashi. They totally kicked those Bullet Club guys' butts, right?
That's enough.
Oh, okay. And then that guy Chris Jericho got the crap kicked out of him and is going back to a boat or something, right?
That's a no.
Let's see. I mean, the big one, of course, like I said, two straight, 24 minutes, Okada, greatest of all time, still your IWGP champion, and will carry that belt in what is certainly with modern medical science and his high level of income at least in 20 more years.
That's no.
Maybe I just need to stop guessing on stuff, or everybody, you should, if you're going to make it, ask me, and then whatever I say, go pick the other one. Tell me. Just pick the other one, and you should probably make a lot of money.
All right, so let's get through these results for a moment here to just go ahead and plaster you with all the wrong predictions that you probably were.
Apparently,
Gun. That's El Desperado and Amaro defeated Robbie 3K to take IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Juice Robinson, I might have picked them.
Juice Robinson and David Finley defeated Jay White and Yoshihashi. Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Ishii and Yano. Mike Elgin defeated Goto and Taishi to win the Never Open Weight Championship. The Young Bucks defeated Sanada and Evil to win the IWGP tag titles and continue to show the world they are the greatest tag team ever. Not my words, theirs. The Bullet Clubs, Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll defeated Hashi, Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr. Takahashi defeated Will Ospreay to become new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Chris Jericho defeated Naito to win the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. And Kenny Omega defeated Okada 2-1 to win the IWGP Heavyweight title.
How long did that Three Falls match end up going? Well over the hour.
Right? Yeah, over 4 minutes.
Okay.
And change.
Yeah. So, minutes longer than I thought. And the Roy won.
Indeed.
Gotcha.
All right, so let's break these things down. The Young Bucks moved to the heavyweight division. They challenge tag team champions. They win the tag team championships. Are they the greatest independent tag team in the world?
I would say so. You know, I mean, in the kayfabe sense of everywhere they've been held the top championship there, and in the non-kayfabe sense that they sell a buttload of tickets and a buttload of merchandise. They are extremely popular, and they do extremely well.
So, I assume if we ever get run in the WWE, I will qualify them as the greatest tag team of all time, anywhere, once they actually make fact. Do they even need that? Could be seen as the greatest ever without ever going to the Fed?
I think there's quite a good bit of people already think that they're the best ever, but I mean they could possibly, without going into WWE and competing there and winning their tag team championships, I don't think a lot of people would still consider them best ever. They would just consider them like the best to never be WWE. Wouldn't say, oh yeah, they're better than the Road Warriors, or oh yeah, they're better than the Dudleys, or oh yeah, they're better than whomever, because they never made it to the pinnacle and never won the championship there. Because that's still the measuring stick. Even, no matter how much, you know, people want to hate and do all this, WWE is pretty much still where the biggest money, you know, comes for contracted guys. So that's people are going to consider the top place. And if not, you're not, you know, there's a reason, is kind of what a lot of people think.
So with that, yeah, I definitely think that those points are good. I do think they are one of the top. Right now, I mean, going through and thinking, we'll have to think about it more, break it down, but are they one of the greatest in the indie scene? They could definitely have a very good reason themselves the best ever. There's even reason the fest, the place to go to solidify yourself as one of the best. You look at AJ. He had a great run in TNA and stint in Ring of Honor, but no one ever talked to him about being one of the best in the world until he went to New Japan. And then, of course, Dave Meltzer wrote about it all the time. And then people started buying into AJ being the greatest. Now, AJ, great. I don't disagree with anyone that does that and whatnot. But I think that him being having the run in New Japan and then finally going to the Fed and having the type of matches that he has had since being in the Fed has solidified him as one of the greatest wrestlers ever. Where I think that that conversation was very small, and you know, not as big and as loud as it is now. And I think it's because he was missing being in the Fed. And I think some bucks, that may be the thing. Do they need to monetarily? Probably not. But, you know, it just depends what they want to do. If they truly want to solidify themselves at the greatest tag team ever, they need, I think they do need that. You know, there's a reason why almost everyone, you know, even from the WCW, I think Sting needed to be in the Fed, at least do a match, just to say he was going to do that, you know? And he was.
Yeah.
He did that.
His match. Fight, have his WrestleMania moment. Yeah.
So, I think to me, it's a no-brainer that they need that to solidify their case for the greatest tag team ever, but the close. And right now in the independents, there's no tag team better than them right now. I mean, there are teams that are on the rise, but like you said, no one touches the Young Bucks when it comes to merchandising and sales and, you know, putting people in seats. The Young Bucks are definitely something special, whether they're, you know, in Los Angeles or in New Japan or who knows where else with these days. You know, whatever Ring of Honor is also, but their days are pretty much between New Japan and Ring of Honor and PWG. And now
that's kind of something the place they're doing.
Yeah, now they're done with PWG, so. Yep. And now, you know, with PWG behind them, you know, they've got Ring of Honor, they've got New Japan Pro Wrestling, but for how long? More later. Back. So, well, Bullet Club defeats the, you know, Tanahashi, Liger, and Mysterio Jr. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I don't doubt in my mind at all that Cody did everything that he could to campaign to get that match on their side for the win column. Not sure what you get out of that. I mean, I think I'm interested what could come of this. You know, maybe Cody versus Tanahashi. I think that's a high profile match that could help to elevate Cody in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But
yeah,
basically a couple of legends and Tanahashi, you know, well on his way to becoming a legend himself. But the
I think Japan, he's pretty much a legend already.
Yeah, but
think,
I'm talking as far as like in
internationally.
Or statesman per se, like, you know, he's now the older guy.
Yeah,
he's got years left.
Yeah, very true.
Where I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this probably gonna happen, but I was probably gonna Mysterio, you know, retire in the next couple of years. I mean,
well, he's already said as such. Like, he probably had a couple more years. Would get to a point where, you know, he would just decide it's not for him, and he wouldn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah, and that's why he's done with tournament style matches. You know, those take a toll on
you.
He gets to wrestle if he just tag match, which are much easier on the body than having single matches night after night.
Yeah, and then he can save his you know, big singles matches, and he wants to wrestle, and more when he does.
Yeah, But Bullet Club is fine to Cody, and they get the W and whatever. To my delight, because I said I wanted to see this happen, but I didn't think it would. Hiromu Takahashi won the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Like I said before, he had a fantastic match in the finals of the Best of Super Juniors, and really looked like, you know, the time bomb that he was first came back. And he comes here and, you know, has yet another match with Ospreay and wins the championship. And hopefully, I would be the run that solidifies him now as one of the elite junior heavyweights. Now, I think most people do see him as one of the elite, but like I said, all the comedy and all the, you know, that surrounded him last year or so, since he lost the title, kind of, you know, lowered his stock a bit. I think that this will relevate him back to that. And you know, I would be surprised at some point, man, Hiromu Takahashi could very well jump up to the heavyweight division. He's the kind of guy that's enough that you could make a lot of money with, feature, having them been pictured for a long time. If you build them right, I think that him have a great run with the championship with them. I mean, for example, Kushida, I could see Kushida move up to the division now. I think that he pretty much everything he can do in the junior heavyweight division. And I think with Takahashi getting a great run with the title and then eventually moving up, he's definitely in one of the more popular groups with Los Ingobernables de Japón. And he's a great spot right now. And then he got the title, even though I didn't have faith that they would do it.
Since he pretty much, you know, Hiromu, since he adopted the new persona, you know, the time bomb and everything, he has been like he's been like time that went off in that division. And he's just brought a lot of new life, and he did the comedy stuff, yeah, and made some money from it, and you know, a lot of people liked it, but he shows himself as a multifaceted performer. He can do that comedy stuff with the stat and all that crap, or he can go in there and he can ball and show the hell. I mean, which is what he did through the Best of Super Juniors and what he did Dominion against Ospreay.
All right, now try to explain this, Danny, because I don't understand it. Maybe you can help me in.
Okay, is it a people thing? Because I'm not always good with this.
Well, Chris Jericho wins the New Japan Pro Wrestling Intercontinental Championship in the worst hurricane. What's up with that?
I think it was a surprise, and I also think that they, you know, maybe they want to do a Brock Lesnar thing where he only defends the belt once every 10 or 12 months, you know? I think the biggest thing was they wanted to surprise people, you know? He goes, you know, he's just coming one-offs, and boom, well, that's not a win anymore, you know? He's going to have to at least come back and defend that belt. Does this lead to a rematch with Naito, or does Joe start taking on other talents? I think that's the bigger question. How frequently Jericho will appear for New Japan? Frequently will he wrestle? What's the status of his kind of open door kind of contract with WWE? Does he possibly appear on WWE television with the IWGP Intercontinental Championship? I mean, does now just more interest in his cruise with wrestling because he now is a champion in New Japan? I mean, a lot of interesting questions up, and I think that's the biggest thing.
It definitely is. I don't know really what to make of it. I don't understand Japan Pro Wrestling Jericho. His look is kind of weird.
His look supposedly reminiscent of a movie in the 70s that you may not know of called A Clockwork Orange. That is supposedly what his style was emulating a little bit. You know, I guess he's going for kind of a mix of that and kind of a more of a darker kind of rock and roll persona, you know, heavy metal, kind of darker heavy metal rather than just kind of in the States, just known as he's more kind of the rock and roller almost, so I don't know if that's part of it, but you know, Jericho likes to try and evolve himself, be it through his physical appearance, be it through his wrestling a little bit and who he's working. So this could just be an attemptation, or it could have just been an unusual get up for a big show, you know, like a WrestleMania type of entrance where they have a big coat and entrance and then you never see it. It was just for that one show. I'm not really sure either.
So the question is, how often do we see him? You know, you already think that he's going to do a Brock Lesnar kind of deal. Now, does he just lose a title right away? So we're in a spot where title is not defended all the time, or the chance just missing. I mean, where did they run their shows? It's not, you know, they don't have, it's like pay-per-view shows every month like WWE does. So they can get away with him defending the title every once in a while. However, they do have, you know, a lot of shows where the chin is on there. And with the G1 coming up, you know, how can you not want your champions there?
Well, that remains to be seen, I guess.
Very interesting indeed. I guess we will find out as we can see everything unravel. But they decided to go with Jericho. And not sure why over Naito, but, you know, hopefully this means better things for Naito going forward. Again, another very, very popular wrestler in New Japan. All right, so let's get to the moment I'm waiting for. Your main event. The champion, Okada, versus the sixth star in a sixth match, Omega, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. They go 1-1, and 2 falls Omega, 1 fall Okada, your new champion, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega did it. And a lot of people, you know, well, not a lot of people. Some people were saying it's due time. Some people are saying it's too, they should have pulled the gun first time. But showing by the reaction that he got there by the live crowd, showing all the talk about him and, you know, how people feel it means and which direction it's changing for New Japan, you know, being, you know, him being a Gaijin, you know, the first Gaijin champion in Styles, you know, being years ago. I think they made the right decision, you know, to go with Kenny and give him the championship right now. And see where the era of Omega leads. You know, yet again, it as big of a name as he is in the United States, any time that, you know, this LA show that New Japan's doing, as well as whatever else they may have coming up in the States, have champion, you know, as Kenny Omega, it seems that it could do very, very well, help ticket sales even more than they may already be doing, depending on whether.
Yeah, it's also wild. 6 out of the 8 New Japan Pro Wrestling Championships are held by non-Japanese wrestlers.
Maybe that could port. You know, culturally, that could play into storylines. You know, they could say, you know, some of the wrestlers, hey, you know, the Gaijins are taking over. What are we going to do about it? You know, we need to try to bring back the best honor back to Japan, our home country. But it's not as though these guys that are holding the belts are seen as foreigners. I mean, Jericho maybe more so than any of the others, but most of the others have put in time and proven themselves to the Japanese fans, so they've almost adopted them. Kenny Omega, especially, you know, having lived in Japan for nearly a decade, you know, the Young Bucks, as much time as they spend in Japan, they're pretty much as, you know, as part of New Japan family. I think most people in Japan consider them New Japan wrestlers rather than American wrestlers. So it is interesting. You know, we talked about how unusual for wrestling 2017 was, and just the things that happened that people A didn't would happen and B didn't think work if they happened. I think 2018 says some bitch hold my beer. and is trying different things and seeing what works. And surprisingly, so these things are working. They're working extremely successfully. It's a time for wrestling, but there's always something amazing, interesting happening.
And so now it's kind of crazy. Omega, I think that you had no, you had nothing else to do but put the title Omega at some point. I mean, after the fantastic run that he's had the last year and a half, he wins the G1, he wrestles Okada, 6-star match. Then he finally beats Okada in the match, he loses both opportunities, against Okada. He wins the United States Championship, and I think that this third match was gonna the way that it had to go. I think that if you were gonna keep Kenny on the long term, which you ended up doing, I think it's the only thing you had to do. I mean, it was inevitable that Kenny Omega was going to be a WGP heavyweight champion. But can we talk about the aftermath? And the birth of the Golden Elite. As it looks like now together, the Golden Lover, Young Bucks. Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, known as the Elite.
Were known as the Elite, and then they added like 7 people in the Elite.
Well, no, that was only for the YouTube
Bullet Club B Squad.
Right? I will never recognize anyone as the Elite except for Omega and the Young Bucks. That's outside of what this is reality.
But so yeah. It's not the Wolf Pack of the pretend Wolf Pack is basically
what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what it seems is, because they're the whole Bullet Club's gotten the Wolf back, and then they wanted, like, the back of the Wolf Pack. And now you've continued further and made Wolf of the Wolf Pack of the Wolf Pack. We're reaching hilarious Inception level, type things here, okay? I'm not saying it's too much, but it might be a bit too much.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but is wrong. Yeah, so the Elite on the Young Bucks. Now, of course, Omega has got his best friend, Ibushi, back, and the Golden Lovers are back. So, yes, the four of them all together are the Golden Elite. Yeah. How fantabulous is that?
It's the golden shower of professional wrestling is what it is.
We talked about the special in California happening in July, and we have some matches announced. Okada and Osprey against Bushi and Naito. Sonata versus the Young Bucks. They're going to get a rematch. Jay White will defend the United States Championships, Juice Robinson. And Omega is going to defend the IWGP Championship against Cody Rhodes, which I guess this is where Omega gets his win. Because Cody beat him. Rebound.
I mean, he could lose the IWGP Heavyweight Championship could change hands on American soil, which I honestly have no clue when that may or may not happen. If it has happened before, it's probably been a long time. So, I mean, we could see entire new levels of unprecedent happen, you know?
Danny, when don't even speak of it.
The uncommon son of the common man could be the IWGP champion. That doesn't say people. I don't know. I don't know what will.
Don't say those words, Danny. Don't even speak to them into existence. It cannot happen. It will not happen. Kenny Omega reigns supreme. Amen.
Hey, Bullet Club is what he's the real leader.
Look, Cody can keep Bullet Club. Good luck with Bullet Club being relevant without Omega and the Young Bucks.
Sure, the Young Bucks would side with any.
They have. That's why they are not part of the Golden Elite.
The Golden Shower Wrestling is that, yeah.
They have chosen sides, you know. They've made up, they've explained to Omega, I'm sure, many a times that the Supers were accidental at Supercard of Honor, and you know they solidified who they're on. They're with Kenny Omega. He's the champ. Got all the belts. Look, Cody has a ring to remind everybody that one at a time he was Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. That's all that ring means.
Something Omega has not accomplished.
Yeah, but who cares? He left the United States to make a name for himself in man. That's what he's doing.
And it took him and it took him over 10 years to reach the IWGP Championship. You know, I don't think it will take Cody nearly that long.
Well, look.
Championship shot here in the U.S. should have stayed, but it hasn't been for a few years because that one guy went to bed. Cody's bringing that belt back to Georgia, Vinny.
You wish. Kenny will retain the champ. Okay? We've already proven your track record when it comes to predictions.
Just didn't talk about it earlier. Yeah. So, plus, you've heard my prediction. Place your bets accordingly.
Now, we are going to get another chip. This is very special. First time ever. As we are going to see the Elite team up against the New Day.
Yes.
Now,
in a street fighter, taking it to the street, going to fight in the streets like men. That's what you do. If you just settle them, you settle it in a street fight.
Now, it's not a wrestling match, so people don't get excited.
It's a street fight.
It's going to be playing a video game. And, of course, Kenny Omega and Xavier Woods are huge into video games. And, you know, they're going to, you know, do battle. They've done it before. And now they're bringing their comrades and they're going 3-on-3. And it'll be interesting. But, yeah, so that's kind of cool. And you know, I'm not sure if it required WWE approval, but if it then wink, wink, not, maybe you can think that this could mean that WWE indeed had to approve it, that there's a possibility that you know, the communications have been had and doors may be open in the future for an Elite debut in the WWE.
Then does that mean that he'll have to throw the game? Would WWE allow their boys to opt out on the world stage to competition?
I don't think so. I mean, the game is a video game. It's not real.
At the end of the day,
like
it's
pro wrestling.
Well, that's true. That's true. It's not the sport. It's definitely not where the big boys play. Yeah, I mean, it's thing I think is more for the fans, and it, you know, sure with the Young Bucks and now the New Day gets to play them on a video game. You know, so I don't know if that's not favoritism. I don't know what is.
Well, I don't know either, but that's kind of cool. I'm sure that the photo ops are going to be all over the interwebs after it happens.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the Fed. Why don't we ask this big weekend in Chicago, bigger weekend than last, as we get TakeOver Chicago and Money in the Bank. Here's your matchup for TakeOver. We have the Undisputed Era, O'Reilly and Roderick Strong defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a Chicago street fight. Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Shayna Baszler versus Cross for the NXT Women's Championship. And Aleister Black will defend his NXT Championship against Lars Sullivan. So, Danny, what are your predictions so that we can bet the opposite?
Let's see. The first prediction is when Ricochet and Velveteen Dream start the show, an airplane's going to hit the venue, killing them and definitely stopping the show. And the rest of the show is going to have to take place at another time.
All right.
Because that would be the only way that they could make me care about a match between those two, is if it turned into a with Bolton dying in the process.
How about the other matches?
I think that the Undisputed Era will retain. I think, you know, for their, I don't know if, you know, with the numbers game that the this is hand, I think Dana, at least for the time being, is able to defeat Nikki Cross. I think Nikki might do something, get herself disqualified, down out a victory, or something. But I think the reign of Baszler, the Queen of Spades, stays atop her. Gargano and Ciampa, man, this, yet again, either way, if Candace does Ciampa attack her, if, you know, Johnny was injured, had to sit at home for a little bit, you know, is his body 100% going into this Tommaso Ciampa? We saw any level when he went on the attack and jumped Ciampa and bloodied him up, threw his face into the LED stage light board. It slashed Tommaso's Ciampa up several places, and he required, you know, ended up having to get a half dozen staples in his head to close the biggest gap wound. Honestly, that's the most intriguing one to me. It could go either way. I don't think that one will go on last as it did before when they fought in the unsanctioned match. So I think the main event, the NXT Championship, which I do think Aleister Black will retain, in what should be an exceptionally hard-hitting match. But I think Aleister Black will somehow be able to defeat the troll, the monster, Lars Sullivan.
All right, so I pretty much have him along the same lines as you. I believe Undisputed Era will retain. Aleister Black will retain. I believe that Gargano might win this, let it be over. But otherwise, if this is going to continue a little bit in Brooklyn, then Ciampa's going to win. Ricochet will get the W in a match that you don't care anything about. And Shayna Baszler will retain her NXT Women's Championship, continue to solidify herself as the baddest woman in NXT. Now let's move on to Money in the Bank, or as I like to say, Dinero en el Banco. Well, I don't necessarily like to say it that way, but I can't because I am bilingual. And in no particular order, starting with the pre-show match, the Bludgeon Brothers will defend the Tag Team Championships against Gallows and Anderson. Then Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. Seth Rollins versus Elias for the IC Championship. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal. Carmella versus Asuka for the Women's Championship. Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. AJ AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match for the WWE Championship. Money in the Bank men's ladder match. Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor versus The Miz versus Rusev on Rusev Day versus Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe versus one of the members of New Day. And the Money in the Bank ladder match for the women, Ember Moon versus Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch versus Natalia versus Lana versus Naomi versus Sasha Banks. Now, we're not going to try and put our guesses here on who everybody's going to win, but we're going to do a few of these matches. Now, this is a special, well, no longer special, but a new start time of 7 p.m. as all the new pay-per-views are in the 7 p.m. to make room for everybody on both rosters to have a match. But the two women's matches, the title matches, who are your pick? Mine are Asuka and Rousey.
I wouldn't say those are sets. I would, yeah, I think they definitely want, yeah, I would say that Ronda's not going to lose, and unless there's possible shenanigans involved, Asuka will win the championship. I mean, they've already knocked off the big one. Asuka's streak has been broken. So if she now loses, you know, with Carmella hooking the tights or, you know, something like that, feet on the ropes, it doesn't destroy the Asuka character when she lost the first time and shouldn't have because Charlotte Flair's terrible.
All right, so the WWE Championship match, AJ Styles and Nakamura, I'm going with Nakamura.
Well, we've seen the power of Nakamura's groin shots and how they can drop a man to his knees and make him unable to stand again. So I will go with Shinsuke Nakamura and the Power of the Nut Shots.
So who is your pick for the women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
I've discussed this in the past with the Ginger and all this, and I'm not legally allowed to publicly stand out against Becky, so I do believe that Becky Lynch will win the Money in the Bank ladder match this year.
Okay, well, I'm with Alexa Bliss because I think that she will make it entertaining all year long. That's my pick. I mean, obviously, neutral here. No favorites in this match.
Yeah, definitely not.
Any Money in the Bank ladder match for the men?
I think we go with Finn Balor. I think it's time for him to get in the bank and go up, you know, against the Beast. Seemed to plan for so long. So Finn Balor wins it, you know, fights Brock once and loses to Brock. And then, you know, when it comes time for a rematch, he unleashes the demon character again and the demon's able to Beast. So I think the first of that is Finn Balor in the bank.
Yeah, that could be a good choice. Man, the men's harder for me to go with. But, I mean, I kind of want Strowman to win, but it all depends on where they go, because it's so weird with Brock being the champ. You know what? I'm going with Strowman. Yeah, I'm going with Strowman because there's so many ways that he can come in and just win the championship at any time, get off either Lesnar or whoever be Lesnar, so yeah, I'm going with Braun.
All right.
All right, so Money in the Bank, Disney 7 p.m. Eastern Time on WWE Network. Only $9.99, free to new subscribers. And lastly, last week we talked about tapings that are happening for the UK Championship Tournament on June 18th and 19th. Well, I did find they're actually going to air on the WWE Network the week later on June 25th and June 26th. So we'll know everything that happens unless we try to be spoiler free for a whole week. But we already had the front matches already done this past weekend. So here we are in the quarterfinals. Zach Gibson facing Jack Gallagher. Flash Webster will be facing Jordan Devlin. Joe Coffey will be wrestling Dave Mastiff. And Travis Banks will go 1-on-1 against Ash Smith. So my pick and Tamika's picks are still there. And I know since it's a tournament, you're still going to stay away from it. Don't blame
Well, I mean, we've heard how terrible my picks have been as of late. So it's probably best that I stay out of tournaments and I might just have to take myself all together because I'm just apparently, you know, just I'm on a dry spell, as gamblers would say.
Now, in addition to the tournament just on night one, we're also going to get a six-man tag match, British Strong Style versus Undisputed Era. That should be a fun match. And also, a treat, a fatal four-way match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. In this match, it will be Tony Storm versus Jeannie versus Ilan versus Killer Kelly. So, to me, that's a pretty good set of women right there who are very talented and great that they'll be getting all the exposure on WWE Network. Especially for us, we've seen Isle of Dawn many a times here in Atlanta.
Yes. So, it's good for her to be on a much bigger stage. Absolutely. She's a fantastic competitor.
Yeah, so on night two, Pete Dunne will be defending the UK Championship against with the UK Championship men, and Shayna Baszler or Shayna Baszler or Nikki Cross will be defending the NXT Championship versus the winner of the Fatal 4-Way. Adam Cole will be defending the NXT American Championship versus a opponent to be announced. And the Undisputed Era's Kyle Lee and Roderick Strong or Oney Lorcan, Aaron Stone, Kenny Burch will be defending the tag championships against a tag team to be announced later. And Al Black and Ricochet will be facing EC3 and Velveteen Dream in tag team action. So, a big fun 2 days there next Monday and Tuesday that we will not be able to see in a week after that. But a lot of fun indeed for everyone. So, Danny, anything you're looking forward to those two nights of the UK Championship Tournament? The second time, of course, now they also have Johnny Saint as their GM mentioned. But anything sticks out to you outside of the Women's Championship opportunity there?
I mean, it's that pretty much be my big man. I mean, I mean, I'd like to see how Adam Cole does, you know, in the North America Championship, since he's not defending it on Takeo, which is, you know, I guess you don't want to have every single be a title match. You have to have at least one non-title match in there, or one or two. Get to see Adam Cole defend the North American Championship, not in North America.
Yeah, that's interesting, but then again, we've seen the UK Championship, not in the UK as well. So,
Yeah, and when WWE had the, you know, their European championship, I think more times than not, it changed American soil than European soil.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the tournament matches, the finals, see who moves on, and see who gets the shot for the UK championship. See who, these guys will continue to get more opportunities on WWE and NXT. And, yeah, it should be a fun 2 days. They will be a week later. So, I'm for all of it, again, to be seen on WWE Network a week later. But yeah, that's fun. And that is it for tonight. We are definitely missing our third member. Rika Villas is out of commission this week, but she will be with us next week. As, we talk about the fallout of Takeover, Money in the Bank, and anything else that happens next week as things get or do not get spoiled to us. And hopefully some fun stuff happening in the world of pro wrestling is always something likes to come at the perfect time. So thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Fans of Wrestling Show, the FOW Radio Network, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, and Google Play. Check us out on the Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at NEFNDanger. I'm on Twitter at MNPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.